John chapter 10, we'll begin our reading at verse 11. If you're able, when you're ready, please stand for the reading of God's holy and inspired word. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, see the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. And then would you turn also to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. To the reading of God's word, let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us now, that you would encourage our hearts, that you would cause us to rest upon you and to love you and to love your Son more than ever before. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Two headings this evening, and for your convenience, I've even alliterated them. The first is the picture, and verses 1 through 3, and the second is the perseverance, and verses 4 through 6. Let's look, first of all then, this evening, at the picture that we have here in this psalm. Look at verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, you know that David was a shepherd. David knew all about sheep. And here in Psalm 23, he likens himself to a sheep. And you understand that David is not complimenting himself here. This isn't necessarily a good thing that he calls refers to him, alludes to himself as a sheep. Because sheep are wayward. And David knew times in his life when he was wayward. We can all say it in this room this evening, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And David, I think, recognizes his propensity to waywardness. Secondly, sheep are defenseless. Have you ever thought about that? That every other animal, it seems, or at least the vast majority of them, have some sort of defense mechanism. Lizards and snakes and the like, they have camouflage. Rhinos have brute strength. Cheetahs and pumas have speed. Tigers have teeth and claws, and on it goes. But the sheep doesn't have anything. There is no defense mechanism. And I don't think David would ever forget the time when he had to rescue his defenseless sheep from the lion and the bear. And I think David realizes that he too needs protection. And then the third thing about sheep is sheep are helpless. Shepherds are integral to the welfare of sheep. Shepherds are needed to protect them, to lead them the right ways, to stop them from eating poisonous plants, to guard them from predators. They need shepherds to bind their wounds, to shorn their fleece, to lead them to water. And David knew that without God, he was helpless. We need a shepherd, don't we? As David recognized that his sheep were wayward, defenseless, and helpless, and that he needed a shepherd. Isn't it true of us as well this evening? We need a shepherd too. It's sometimes I marvel, really. I don't know if that's the right word. That's got positive connotations to it. I'm astounded that people can live in this life. That people can get up in the morning and live normal lives without a shepherd. How can you live without a shepherd? We need a shepherd. And David says in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want," or "I shall not lack," you could translate it. And I don't want us to lose the intimacy of this here. He says, "Yahweh is my shepherd." It's not really a title. This is the covenant name of God. Yahweh, our covenant God who has bound himself to us, Yahweh is my shepherd. He says, "Yahweh is my shepherd," not the shepherd, not a shepherd. He's my shepherd. 17 times the first person, personal pronoun is used in this psalm. And he says, "Yahweh is my shepherd," or "my shepherd." He's not just a fortress, although he is a fortress. He's not just a king, although he is a king. He's my shepherd. And a shepherd is such a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who this psalm is about. The good shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ, who warmly and personally and tenderly cares for his individual people. And as we look at this psalm, I want you to see the investment of the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his sheep. Jesus is constantly doing for his sheep. There are verbs everywhere. In verse 2, he says, "He makes me lie down." Verse 2, "He leads me Verse 3, he restores my soul. Again in verse 3, he leads me. He's with me, verse 4. He comforts me, verse 4. He prepares a table, verse 5. He anoints my head, verse 5. Jesus is constantly doing for his people. He is dedicated to his sheep. And dare I say it this evening, that the Christian life, the Christian walk, is not you trying harder and harder and harder to earn something, to achieve something for Christ. It's more the Christian walk is basking in what Jesus has done, is doing, and will do for and in you. Jesus is constantly doing for his sheep. He leads, we see in verse 2 and 3. He leads to green pastures. He leads to still waters. He leads to paths of righteousness, which actually you could just translate right paths. He leads us like he led Israel through the wilderness. And I won't go into it this evening, but actually there's a ton of subtle references in this psalm, allusions to God leading his people, Israel, through the wilderness. And we ask the question this evening, well, how does he lead? He leads us by his word. His word is a light unto our paths and a lamp unto our feet, or the other way around. It's by the word of God that he teaches us and reproves us and corrects us and sustains us. He leads us by his word. He leads us providentially. When he opens that door and closes the other door, when he introduces that person or removes that person, when he places under shepherds, elders, and other people into our life to be examples to us and to counsel us, he removes that temptation. He eliminates that stumbling block. And as we look at our lives, we realize that our lives are like a tapestry where our Lord is weaving this and that to produce the picture that he has for us in his mind. And often we don't know where he will lead us. And sometimes we wonder, why has the Lord led us here? And yet we know that he always leads us on the right paths, even when the right paths are the valley. He leads us on the right paths to the right destination for the right reasons and the right timing. And wherever he leads us, we know not only that he goes with us, but that he goes before us. That's as we think of this shepherd picture, Middle Eastern shepherds would go in front of their sheep. And we know that the Lord goes before us. He leads us, but he goes before us. Even death, he has went there first. And so we have this wonderful picture here of a shepherd. A shepherd who cares for his sheep. That's who the Lord is. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? I think of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, when it says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. What a wonderful picture. And then in Revelation chapter 7, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You get something of the care, the tenderness, the love with which the Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, leads us, his people. And that's our testimony, isn't it? That he binds our wounds, that he carries us on his shoulders, that he leads and restores and comforts and protects and anoints. And you can testify this evening how the Lord has done that in your life time and time again, how he has led you, how he has cared for you. And sometimes we say, Lord, I'm such a wayward sheep. I'm such a rebellious sheep. Yes, you are. But Jesus is a good shepherd who cares, who loves, who leads, who does everything for his sheep. So we have the picture here in verses 1 through 3, but I want you to notice, secondly, the perseverance in verses 4 through 6. Note here the momentum, the dynamic of this psalm. Look again at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, here's the thing. It's quite easy, isn't it, to believe that Yahweh is my shepherd when we're on the green pastures by the still waters. It's easy to say that Yahweh is my shepherd when everything is going well in my life. But what about the bad days? What about those days when you feel like you're eking through the valleys? What about those days when your heart is aching and you can't hold back the tears? What about those days when you receive that diagnosis or that disappointment in your life or you lose a loved one? What about those days when you feel afar off from God? What about those times in your life when you've wandered for him for days, maybe weeks, maybe even longer? What about those times when you sin so grievously against him? Is he still my shepherd then? Is this just a fair weather doctrine for when all is well in my life? I say to you this evening, brothers and sisters, Yahweh is not just your shepherd in verses 1 through 3 when everything's rosy. He is your shepherd also in verses 4 through 6. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, he says in verse 4, that's still the right paths. In verse 3, he's still your shepherd. And David testifies that Yahweh is his shepherd, even in those valleys. You could translate that, by the way, the valleys of deep darkness, the valley of deep darkness. And David knew all about valleys of deep darkness. David knew what it was to be hounded, betrayed and slandered. He knew what it was to live in a foreign land. He knew what it was to have an unknown future. He knew what it was for his life to go not as he expected or wanted it to go. He had experienced the death of more than one child. He knew what it was for a child to wander away from the Lord. He knew what it was to commit horrific sin, to wallow in his guilt, to wander away from the Lord. He knew the horrors of war. He knew sickness. He faced even his own death. And he says, you're my shepherd, even then. Even in the valley of deep darkness, you're my shepherd, even then. For, he says, for you are with me. Notice he doesn't say here, verse 4, for he is with me. That's interesting. He's referred to the Lord four times already in the first three verses as he. But not anymore. But you are with me. Five times, look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is personal for David. David has turned from us, as it were, to God. And he's owning his experience before an omniscient God. Yes, you are with me. For you are with me. And the idea in the Hebrew, the with there, is so strong. It's like, you are ever with me. You're with me. Bold, underlined, you're ever with me. You're with me. You're with me in the good times, and you're with me in the bad. Those days of rejoicing and those days of tears, you are with me. You never forsake me. And that's what makes it so bearable, isn't it? That he is with us. I remember visiting a lady in hospital. She was about to have a very serious operation on her brain. And I went to the hospital, and I was more apprehensive than she was. And she said to me, she said, "I believe he's sitting next to me." And that was enough for her. And that was enough for David. How can I fear no evil? You are with me. You're ever with me. Even in the valley of deep darkness, you are with me. And you protect me. Look at the end of verse 4. Your rod and your staff, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. His rod or his club and his staff, they comfort me. As one commentator said in this part of the psalm, Jesus' muscles are flexed to protect his flock. He doesn't carry a rod for nothing. And that's true. Jesus is a shepherd, but he's a warrior shepherd. And he protects his sheep. So he's with me. He's with me in the green pastures. He's with me beside the still waters. He's with me in the dark valleys. But he goes on. Notice the momentum of this psalm. He's with me even in the presence of my enemies, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Even then, he's with me. He goes on. He's with me all the days of my life. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just the green pastures, not just the dark valleys, not even just in the presence of my enemies. Every single day of my life, he is with me every day. Let me translate that part for you. This is surely in the ESV. Let me translate it for you. Only goodness and mercy, only goodness and hesed shall not follow me, pursue me. It's stronger than follow. Only goodness and mercy shall pursue me. It's the same word when the Egyptians are going after the Exodus and the Egyptians are going out pursuing the people of Israel. That's the word. Only goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days, every day, all the days of my life. Before we came to America, I had to take Ashley to Scotland for her to see the homeland. And as we were driving along one day, we looked up in this hill, And there was a flock of sheep there, and there were two sheepdogs. It was a tremendous sight. These sheepdogs weren't following the sheep. They were pursuing the sheep. They were nipping at their heels. They were going back and forward, guiding them. They had intent. They had conviction. They had dedication to pursuing these sheep. And that's what David is saying. Goodness and mercy shall pursue me. They are God's sheepdogs. And they pursue me all the days of my life. And again, Christianity is less about you pursuing God, although of course it's about you pursuing God. But it's more about God in Hesed pursuing you every day. But he doesn't stop there. Yes, in the green pastures. Yes, in the dark valleys. Yes, in the presence of my enemies. Yes, every day of my life. But no, it doesn't even stop there. But for all eternity, you are my shepherd. You are with me. Look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, a shepherd may take his sheep home, but I've never heard of a shepherd take his sheep into his home. I've never heard of a shepherd take his filthy, wayward, dirty sheep into his dining room to sit on his finest furniture. But that's what the Lord Jesus does in Psalm 23. He takes us into his house forever. That's the final destination. It's not the green pastures. It's not the valleys. It's not the presence of our enemies. It's his dining room. It's his house with him in his presence forever. He doesn't leave us in the valley. We walk through the valley, not in the valley. And as I think it was Spurgeon, Spurgeon says everything, but I think it was Spurgeon, said death isn't a house, it's a porch. And Jesus takes us beyond death into his house that we would dwell with him forever. And I want you to remember this, brothers and sisters. And if you're anything like me, you need to be reminded of this again and again and again. That when you're in the valley in verse 4, the dark valley, when you're before your enemies in verse 5, as the embers of Christianity in America seem to be dying out. In fact, every day of your life, verse 6, in fact, even for eternity, he is always your shepherd. He is always, he is ever with you. Only goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life and even beyond. That's what's going on in Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is about the faithfulness and the tenacity and the persistence and the doggedness and the permanence of the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ's care for us, his people. Now, you might be here this evening and you're saying, well, how do I know that? How do I know he is ever with me? How do I know he's not going to let me down? The answer is because Jesus said so. Isn't that what we read in John chapter 10 that he lays down his life. For he's not like the hired worker. He's the good shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep. That's what he's claimed to be. He says it four times, verse 11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 15. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Four times the good shepherd is saying, I am prepared and I will, and he did die for his sheep. That's how we know. As I said last week, you only need to look at this spread on your Bible, or at least in my Bible, when Psalm 22 and Psalm 23 are right next to each other. I only have to look across the page to see in Psalm 22 the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd taking our place and becoming a lamb led to the slaughter. I only have to look to Psalm 22 to see if a ravaged sheep, or sheep ravaged by all these animals that we looked at last time, the dogs and the oxen and the lions. I'll have to look across the page to see the Lord Jesus Christ forsaken. Why? So that I would never be forsaken. He was forsaken. He laid down his life so that I would never be forsaken. He laid down his life for his sheep. Again, we ask the question this evening, what shepherd would lay down his life for foolish, wayward, rebellious sheep, even me? And the answer is the infinitely good shepherd. And that's what he did. He laid down his life. How will he not with you or stay with you to the end? And again, you need to know this, Christian. You need to let this sink deep, deep down. I'm speaking to myself, if no one else. We've got to know this. We've got to feel this. That's what David did. He knew it. He owned it. He knew that God would never, ever leave him in this life or beyond. Even in the valleys, he owned it. If Jesus loves you so much to give his life for you, when will he ever leave you? When Satan comes knocking? When we've let Christ down? When we're feeling bad about ourselves? Is that when he'll leave us? No, he has laid down his life. Only goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life, because Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. There are times, brothers and sisters, that other people forsake us. And there are times that we forsake other people. And worse than that, there are times, many times, when we forsake our shepherd. We could count 1,000 ways that we forsake him, consciously and unconsciously sin against him. Our sin is so ugly and so treacherous and so compromising, and yet here he is, my shepherd, and he loves me, and he's faithful to me even when I'm faithless. He's the good shepherd even when I'm the bad sheep, and he comes after me even when I wander. He holds on to me even when I want to let go. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we confess this evening that we are prone to wander. We confess this evening that there are times in our lives, so many times, when we doubt you. So many times when we mistrust your care for us. Lord, we pray this evening that you would forgive us. And we praise you this evening, Lord, that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. The good shepherd that never leaves go of us. We praise you this evening that he is with us every day of our lives. And we look forward to that day when we will be in your house forever in his presence. Help us to own this, Lord. Help us to know it, to feel it, to live it. That we are sheep that belong to the care of the good shepherd who gave himself for us. We pray in his name. Amen. Blessing of the Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.